I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life. Wonderful, and welcome to Dare to Dream. I am Debbie Dashinger, and so happy to be here with you today. Beautiful day with you, and beautiful day to create your dreams into your reality. You know, I've heard a name over the many years I've been doing this, and in the inspiration, transformational, spiritual community, and I am so excited to finally get to know her. So a little bit later on the show, I'm going to be featuring Dr. Judith Orloff, who is a psychiatrist, an empath, and New York Times bestselling author of the new book, The Empath's Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People. So if you know somebody like that, or I'm guessing you are that, you're going to want to stick around because she's definitely teaching things we haven't heard before about being an empath and a sensitive. And again, Dr. Orloff will be on later on Dare to Dream. Well, are you having fun? That's the big question, because if life is meant to be fun, how are you choosing to have fun? Fun is a choice, right? Especially for those of us, I don't know about your makeup, but I could work. I mean, I definitely have a soul disposition that when I say I'm going to get something done, I'm going to get it done, and I will work till it's done. And it doesn't mean I don't have some of the stuff that other people have, especially when things are new or outside of my realm. Like, for instance, I'm having a landing page built. That means I have to put together the copy and send it off to the web people. And it's kind of like, oh, I'd rather put daggers somewhere in my body than do it. But it's, you know, I have to sort of get it up to do it and make sure it gets done. But that also means that I have to choose to have my pockets, well, obviously for meditation, and I also have to have my pockets for what does fun look like? Obviously, my puppy dog, well, she makes me laugh all day. She is hilarious. And then connection with people or doing something I love, or I'm getting together with some friends. I can't wait. We want to do a vision board, or as I like to sometimes call it, a victory board for the new year. So what are the ways that you disconnect from the doing and all of that energy and into the fun that life is meant to be? Are you a human doing and missing out on the human being part of your life? Well, I ask listeners to reveal what makes them tick. What makes them tick to live their best life? And I just picked out a few of their responses to share with you. And here they are. I hope this inspires you and gets you thinking, and you're going to make a choice today to stop at some point and have fun, maybe at a couple of points. Here's one. I never overwork. Sleep will trump my to-do list when the day is done. Another person wrote in yoga class. Someone else wrote being in the sun and nature. Somebody else wrote going to museum. Someone else wrote watching silly dog videos. I love those too, by the way. There's lots of great animal videos out there to watch. Someone else wrote agree to only do things that are fun and meaningful in my life. Someone else wrote, attend wine classes. So what are you inspired to do to have more fun? Happy Fun Day. When we come back, Dr. Judith Orloff is here to talk about empaths and highly sensitive people. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Whether you're a wine novice, a wine lover, or a wine specialist, you will love DirectSellers.com/DebsWineWonders because it's sourced from boutique artisan vineyards from around the world. Give the wines as gifts for colleagues to bring to social situations or just enjoy it with family and friends. The box of wines I've been receiving from directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders are superb, to be frank. They take care in the wine they choose. Their in-house wine experts ensure that the members get only the best. They've been tasting and selecting wine for over 15 years. The goal with this club is to send you wine that you love. Each month, our experts select great premium wines from wineries around the globe. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. At directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/Deb's Wine Wonders.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
Hi, this is Debbie Dashinger. Dr. Judith Orloff is here with me, and her work has been featured on The Today Show, CNN, The Oprah Magazine, PBS, Psychology Today, and USA Today. Judith has spoken at medical schools, hospitals, the American Psychiatric Association, Fortune Magazine's Most Powerful Women Summit, and alternative and traditional venues, where she presents practical, intuitive tools to doctors, patients, and everyday people. And in response to her work, the Los Angeles Times calls Dr. Orloff a prominent energy-based healer. You can find out more at her website, which is drjudithorloff.com. Judith, welcome to Dare to Dream. It is so great to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be on your show.
I'm looking forward to our conversation on your new book, The Empath Survival Guide. So, reading your book, I just have to say I was taken that there was new information in there I never knew before. Some of the categories you broke it into and some of the ways you describe how we be in function or dysfunction in the world, I was riveted. And I've already been telling many friends about your book. You've got to get this. This is for us. So, invaluable resource to help sensitive people in all kinds of ways. Let's talk about developing these healthy coping mechanisms while we're living in a high-stimulus world. What are some of our challenges of being a highly sensitive person?
Well, it's really interesting because highly sensitive people and empaths are a little bit different, but both are having extreme challenges in the world. And the reason that I wrote the Empath Survival Guide was to give people strategies, sensitive people who are getting so demolished by what's happening with the collective energy and what's happening with energy vampires in the workplace and what's happening with stress in the family and raising kids, it can really put empaths and sensitive people on sensory overload. And when that happens, they get exhausted, depressed, anxious, or can have many physical symptoms that are unexplained. And so the sensitive person has a sensitivity to light, sound, noise, prefers one-to-one interactions, loves nature. But an empath, in addition to all that, absorbs the energy and emotions from other people into their own body. And that can be positive, of course, if you're around a loving, heart-centered person. Now, or it can be problematic if you're around somebody who has toxic energy or anger or something that you're absorbing. And so the key that I'm trying to present in the Empath Survival Guide is to really use strategies to stop absorbing. And one of the strategies that I suggest is, first of all, breathing. Because many times when sensitive people get afraid or anxious, they hold their breath. And that is not conducive to letting energy go. So your breath is your best friend. Your breath will help to circulate the negative energy, the anxiety, the stress of the world that you're absorbing into your body out. But if you hold your breath, it keeps it in. So just kind of keep a mindful eye on your breathing practices to make sure if you're around something that scares you or is toxic or doesn't feel good, don't hold your breath. You know, that's a quick strategy. And also get into water as soon as possible, because when an empath can get into water, a bath, a shower, ideally hot springs are just so divine, it helps to cleanse all that negative energy off you. I take a bath every night. I couldn't live without my bath because it just purifies everything. And it just, I go into a trance state in the bathtub and I just relax and go, you know, really go into an intuitive dream state that feels so much like home to me. So I really am in water quite a bit in my life. When I first got together with my boyfriend, he used to, you know, wonder what I was doing in there because I spent a really long time in the bath. And, you know, I had to explain to him, as many empaths have to do in relationships, that this is a way to replenish myself. And I could stay in there an hour, hour and a half.
Wow.
And I don't want to be pressured to get out. And so that's, you know, a dialogue that he and I had to have together so that he could understand me better. And there's a chapter on empaths in love. And, you know, how to have these conversations with your mate so that you can have your needs met as an empath. It's very important to do that. As I went for years without expressing my needs in relationship, and that didn't work well because after, you know, max 2 years, I would get so overwhelmed, I would bolt because I held so much in. But empaths need to express their need for alone time, their need to be in nature, their need for quiet, you know, with a mate, and have those conversations going. So that, in a sense, is a protection technique. You know, if you have somebody on the same page with you, you know, if you're, I'm living with my boyfriend, you know, which is brand new for me. We've been together about 5 years and living together. This is our second year. And for me, as an empath who loves my solitude and alone time, that's a huge growth step. And it's required a lot of communication on both of our parts to make it comfortable for both him and me, because he's not an empath.
Interesting. And you alluded to the fact that there is a difference between the sensitive and the empath, and I know there's even a difference with the word empathy. Can you talk about what makes those three different?
Right. Well, empathy is the beautiful ability for our hearts to reach out to another person. If they're telling you a story, your heart can reach out and feel joy or feel sadness. It's just our vibing with somebody else. But being a highly sensitive person is a little bit higher on the empath spectrum, as I call it in the book, because highly sensitive people are sensitive to light, sound, smells, excessive talking, love nature, prefer one-to-one interactions, and, you know, have all these high sensory abilities. And then even further up on the empathic spectrum are the empaths who actually absorb energy, both positive and negative, into our bodies. And so that could be very wonderful when you're out walking in a forest or out walking by the ocean, because you can feel all those beautiful vibes coming in your body. But if you're around an energy vampire or such as a narcissist, I have a whole chapter in the book on combating energy vampires and narcissists, it doesn't feel so good. Right. And it can cause all kinds of problems like exhaustion, anxiety, depression. And long-term, being with an energy vampire could beat down your self-esteem, beat down your energy, you know, have all kinds of problems that you don't want to let go on long-term.
Do people become empaths? Is it temperament? Is it genetics, trauma, neglectful, supportive parental upbringing? Or are they born empaths?
That's really an interesting question, because what I noticed going around on book tour for the Empath Survival Guide is that many people are just beginning to identify as empaths who haven't been empaths before. And, you know, I was talking to them, and it's so fascinating because there's so much stress in the world globally, what's happening politically in our country, just ongoing horrific news and stress. And it's beating down normal people, regular people who are not empaths, their defenses, so that they're being sensitive in ways they're not used to. And they're getting wide open like empaths who don't have the regular filters to filter everything out. So we empaths feel everything. But now people who weren't empaths before are developing empath qualities, which is really interesting to me. So I think more and more empaths are being awakened, you know, throughout the world, and we need to really give them skills so they know how to use these gifts and the power of them, rather than just be battered down by them.
And I know your book covers also neuroscience. Talk about how neuroscience explains the empath experience.
Yeah, I go through five different ways, and, you know, it's just fascinating, the science between, you know, behind empaths. It's thought that empaths have hyperactive mirror neuron systems, and the mirror neurons are the compassion neurons in the brain. They're what allow us to feel for something else, somebody else. And so empaths are thought to have a hyperactive system, meaning, you know, going on and on, really hyper alert, as we feel compassion for everything, maybe too much, and we need to have better boundaries. And then narcissists are on the low end of the mirror neuron spectrum. They have hypoactive mirror neurons, meaning they don't really have empathy as we know it. And so the mirror neurons are a great explanation. And then there's the whole concept of emotional contagion that happens. And it's been proven, let's say in a workplace environment, if somebody is really anxious, then that anxiety can spread around the workplace. But to empaths, it spreads big time. Mm. And they can feel it, you know, in their bodies because they're taking on other people's energy because of the emotional contagion. But the contagion can also be positive. If somebody's really joyous, or if you're joyous in your family structure, let's say, that joy can spread over your children, your spouse, you know, your mother-in-law. Your joy is contagious as well, and empaths feel this very, very acutely. And then HeartMath Institute has done amazing research on the electromagnetic fields of the body, meaning that the heart and the brain give off electromagnetic energy as well as information. It gives off emotions. It gives off intuitive information that you can feel, and empaths are particularly attuned to that. So the HeartMath Institute has done great studies on this. And then finally, there's synesthesia, which is the neurological phenomena where two senses are paired together. For instance, if you listen to music and you see colors, you know, the two senses are paired together. But the really interesting part of synesthesia is the mirror response synesthesia, where you can actually feel what's going on in another person's body, mirror touch synesthesia in your own body. And it's related to just a totally different neurological makeup. And so all those scientific facts kind of back up the different aspects of being an empath, you know, and it all makes sense.
You mentioned the vampires and being around even in a workplace and how fast it can spread if there's anxiety or chaos going on and there's a bunch of empaths or sensitives working in the office space, how detrimental that can be. Certainly, I'm even thinking about in utero or childhood if you have a very anxious or chaotic household, or if you've been in relationship with people, a partner or friendships. So what if somebody wants to cut an unhealthy bond with somebody and they're an empath? What do you recommend? How can they do that successfully?
Well, there's a strategy in the book that I divide into two in terms of cord cutting, visualizations, and you have to use them when you're ready, not before, because they work. And you have to be prepared to have some separation from this person. You could have either a partial cord cutting visualization with the quality of the person. Let's say you don't want to be connected to their anxiety anymore and you're living with them. Or you could do a full cord cutting visualization, such as if you've had a relationship with a narcissist and you're finished with it and you don't want it anymore in any shape or form, you can do a full cord cutting visualization. And what these entail is visualizing a bond of light between you and the other person around the area of the solar plexus, and see that bond of light and thank Spirit inwardly for the lessons you've learned from this. And if you want to do a partial cord cutting, let's say you have this bond of light, you know, between you and your mother's anxiety, for instance. That was something I worked with and did a cord cutting because I didn't want to carry around her anxiety. Mm. And so I visualized her anxiety. I thanked Spirit for the lessons I've learned with regard to it. And I took a scissors in the visualization and cut the bond. And what happens is that this cord recoils inside of you, it recoils inside of the person, and you are no longer attached to them in this way. And it's very powerful, the partial, or let's say you want to cut the cord completely, you just with the person, you cut the cord completely. I mean completely. And if you're not ready to do that, don't even embark upon this technique, because it will work. And so you don't have that same energetic connection with them anymore.
What is the difference between the scissors and the cutting and the cord recoiling? Is that a partial? And if so, what is a full exorcism, it feels like, but I really understand what you're saying, cutting off the bond, ending the bond, the light between you two. What is the full process?
Well, what happens is you cut the cord with the scissors and then it recoils. You see, it kind of shrivels up inside of you and inside the other person. You cut it and then it goes into the other person, their part, and part of it goes into you. So it no longer connects the two of you. And so that connection, that energetic connection, is gone if you have a full cord cutting. Or if you just have the partial, like I did, I had a partial cord cutting with my mother's anxiety because I didn't want to keep taking it on. Then I just didn't feel her anxiety anymore, you see, because I didn't take it on in my body. So, you know, you have to make a choice. You know, you can go to the chapter on energy vampires, and I have this exercise in the section on narcissists, because it's particularly relevant for narcissists. Because people want to, you know, a lot of people want to cut the cord totally with them. And it's, you know, very hard to do that, by the way, because they're very seductive and they'll woo you back with all kinds of seductive ploys. They're experts. So you've got to kind of take charge of that with this tool and just do it when you're ready. And there's another technique I suggest in the book for them, is that you go out in nature. If you want to end a relationship completely, go out in nature, find a big stick, and look at the stick. And when you're ready to break the bond with this person, break the stick in two and leave both halves there, turn around, walk away, and don't look back.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a shamanic technique. I know. There's nothing to fool around with, but if you're ready, you're ready. You know, and I caution people, don't do it unless you're ready.
Well, I deeply appreciate these potent solutions. As I'm listening to you talk, my sense is that empaths and sensitives must be easy prey for a narcissist. And I can imagine the dance that must go on over and over when you talk about the seduction of pulling us back, because we're such loving, giving people. And because we perceive so much of what's going on, there's this compassion where often it should be more about self-care rather than perceiving all the other person is going through in the Mishigas there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But it's like a phenomenon, a toxic attraction between an empath and a narcissist. It's
wow.
You know, I talk about it, especially in the books. I want people to be aware of what happens, because so many empaths fall prey to narcissists, because at first they seem so charming and wonderful and loving and open, and they give you all these gifts, and they're like the most, you know, wonderful person in the beginning. But I want to make a note to everyone that this is their false self, and they're experts at presenting it. And once you get to know them a little bit, the minute you don't go along with their plan, whatever it is, they become cold, withholding, punishing, and critical. So it's very destructive to the empath soul to be in a relationship with a narcissist.
Wow.
So this is just a warning. Do not fall in love with a narcissist. And if you do have to work with a narcissist, I have all kinds of options on, you know, how to actually approach the person realistically, such as lowering your expectations and framing things in terms of how it will serve them. Because that's the only way, let's say you have a narcissistic boss, that you're going to get any results, you know, for better or worse, if you want to stay in that job. So, and I also talk about what if you were raised by narcissistic parents or have narcissistic children. So there's a guide, you know, in the Empath Survival Guide on how to deal with each type of situation. So you have, you know, a way to proceed. As you can't just do it. You have to know what you're doing.
Yes. Right. I that's becoming very clear listening to you. And right before we go to break, I want to ask you, so what if an empath, a sensitive, meets somebody who is charming, who is gifting, who is seductive in many ways? How would we know the difference? How would we? I mean, you can't just put all those people and go, well, you clearly are a narcissist. You have those qualities. So how can we delineate, oh, I see, you're a narcissist, between, no, you are genuinely an amazing, charismatic person? What's the discernment there?
Just provoke a conflict. And see how they handle it. Provoke a small conflict. Don't do something that they want to do and see how they handle it. As narcissists are not good at that. You don't do what they want to do and they turn up the volume and become nasty or punishing or critical or passive aggressive. And if they're not narcissistic, they'll go, oh, thank you for expressing your needs. Sure, I understand that.
This is huge. This is such amazing conversation. I know all of you listening are resonating so much with what's being said, and I hope you will take to care how to start to implement this in your life. And again, her book is The Empath's Survival Guide. Also, you can find her at drjudithorloff.com. You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. Join me after the show on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Dr. Orloff about how do you even know if an emotion is yours or someone else's, and hey, are there special challenges for a male empath versus a female empath? We'll be right back.
Learn at your desk teleseminars. Desire to fix your finances? Become a best-selling author? Execute your goals full circle from dream to done? Learn how to be interviewed on the radio for your business? Expert Debbie Dashinger teaches worldwide teleclasses. Her teleseminars receive rave reviews. Sign up for the teleclasses or receive the downloadable audios. go to debbiedashinger.com for your audio class now.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the BARS. The BARS is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The BARS is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a BARS session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a BARS class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
Do you have a published book that never reached its bestseller potential? Are you working on a book or ebook you hope to publish soon? Do you have a book locked inside, waiting to release your message to the world? Go to mybestsellerbook.com. My bestseller book will launch your book to a guaranteed bestseller status. Learn more at mybestsellerbook.com.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Dr. Orloff, I read a quote I'd like to read to you and get your feedback on, and the quote is from Shannon L. Alder. And the quote is, "Sensitive people care when the world doesn't, because we understand waiting to be rescued and no one shows up. We have rescued ourselves so many times that we have become self-taught in the art of compassion for those forgotten." I'm wondering if you agree. Have sensitives often had no one show up and then learn to rescue themselves?
Hopefully. Hopefully they do. But in the Empath Survival Guide, I talk about my childhood as an empath and how I felt so alone and like an alien here on Earth. And I had fantasies that a spaceship would come and land in my front yard to take me away to my real family, as I didn't connect to other human beings in the same way as one would with other empaths. And or I didn't have a grandmother or mother who said, you know, "Oh dear, you have these sensitivities and this is how you handle them and they're wonderful and here's some centering techniques with them." I didn't have any guidance, you know, as a child. That's why I feel so strongly about counseling empath parents and children, and I do in my practice. Although I have an adult psychiatry practice, I do counsel empath parents and children because I want them to get, you know, all the direction and guidance for their beautiful, precious abilities. So in your quote, the person rescues himself, and unfortunately, that isn't always what happens. You know, the empath feels lonely and alone, doesn't get the right help, might go to the mental health system or a psychiatrist and get medicated, which isn't the right primary treatment for being an empath. And so a lot can go wrong if you don't get the proper guidance. And that's what I really feel so passionate about offering people with the Empath Survival Guide, is just a how-to to be an empath. There's a chapter on empaths and work. There's a chapter on empaths and love, a chapter on empaths and health, empaths and intuition. You know, empaths and child rearing. So it's just broken down into very logical components and chapters And you can go to any chapter you want, whatever is most relevant to you, and empaths and energy vampires and narcissists, just how to deal with it all.
So it's, right.
Yeah.
You also have a chapter about food. I thought that was incredible. I want to talk about that. What is important for empaths to know about their diet? Who would think empaths and diet? Talk about that.
Well, empaths are overall sensitive to everything. And there's a chapter on empaths and addiction, and one of the addictions is food addiction. And it's very interesting to me, and I write about this, that the turn of the century faith healers were typically really obese women. Maybe they weighed 300 pounds. And I've had conversations with them, and they feel they need to have this weight on them in order to do their healing work so they don't absorb the pain of their patients. And I know, you know, being, I'm not 300 pounds, you know, fairly thin. I know it's possible to be an empath and not use the fat as a barrier. You don't need to have all that fat, although it works to slow down absorbing stress or absorbing pain. It does slow everything down, as can be understood. It's not a healthy way to deal with being an empath. But there are other protection and centering techniques that you can use. And one quick one is just put a meditation pillow by your refrigerator so you can learn to center yourself and breathe and come back to your center and feel, rescue yourself within by finding your center rather than opening up that refrigerator door and eating all those carbs, you know, or whatever you're wanting to eat. Because empaths often overeat when they feel on sensory overload, or if they're around energy vampires, or if they're absorbing energy from other people into their own bodies and aren't conscious of that. So they subliminally go to food. And so it's important always for an empath to ask him or herself, am I absorbing this emotion or physical symptom from somebody else, or is it my own? You have to differentiate what's what and get into the habit of asking yourself that question. And then, you know, let's say you're around somebody and they're melting down and they're telling you their life story. And you have to set some boundaries here. Otherwise, you're going to go down with them.
Wow.
You see? So instead of eating to deal with that, you know, learning that no is a complete sentence is very helpful. I say no to people all the time because I just can't, it's just too much for me. I just don't want to hear everyone's life stories. I don't, you know, if I'm working and if I'm with patients, it's different. But in my life, just wandering around and, you know, or socializing, I don't want to hear it. Too much for me. And so I'll just say that, you know, very nicely. You know, I'll say, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I'm getting tired, but I can refer you to somebody if you want to talk to somebody. You know, I had to do that with a friend the other day, you know, who came over, and she started swirling down a pit of, you know, some vortex she was going in and mistaking me for her therapist. So I must have looked faint or something, and she goes, you don't look that good. And I said, no, I'm going down. You know, I'm getting tired from what you're talking about. She goes, oh, okay, and she stopped. So, you know, I put a stop to it. I don't just sit there and listen to be polite, as many empaths do, and that's a big mistake. So you have to learn as an empath to set healthy, firm, quick boundaries, you know, just very quick, in and out. Don't get into a big confrontation with people.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I have so many flashes as you're speaking. Myself, people I know globally, it's just pop, 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 pop. I'm actually going in a vortex listening to you. This is so really beautiful conversation. Special challenges. Yes, I find this fascinating. Even this topic that there could be challenges that are specific to a male empath versus a female empath. Is there a delineation there?
Yeah, unfortunately there is. And I have an empath support community on Facebook called Dr. Orloff's Empath Support Community. And anybody is welcome to join it. There's an approval process, that it's a closed group. But what I found, but you can apply for it, everybody, and just say that you heard me on your show, and that would be helpful. But in any case, it's about maybe 85% women. No, and 15% men. And the men are sometimes quiet. You know, they don't share as readily as the women. And I think men have a lot harder time being an empath than a woman. It's hard enough being a woman and an empath with the challenges.
Is that because as a male you're not supposed to be sensitive, quote-unquote, in our world?
Yeah, because they look at it as overly feminized and weak and, you know, not really a man, not a manly man, you know. And empath males usually, you know, when they're growing up, they don't like video games. It's too loud and abrasive. They don't like football teams. They like going out in nature and walking around, you know, or climbing trees or being one-to-one with somebody. But they don't like, you know, constant play dates or constant scheduling. It's just too much for us. You know, how do you explain it? It's like when you hold something, an empath, like holding it with 50 fingers instead of 5. Is that we get a lot more from a single episode of anything than anybody else. Like we feel it more deeply. And so we don't need as much stimulation for that, you know, because of that. And so it's important our friends and our family members understand that about us. Extroverts who are not empaths can, you know, love going out from one event to another. They see a friend, they go out to a concert, they, you know, do their studying, they see their patient, whatever. The whole day is booked. You know, I couldn't do that. That would destroy me as an empath. It's just too much input coming in. Or I like to savor things, you know, slow and, you know, savoring the moments of life rather than jamming things in. I'll just get exhausted or overwhelmed if I jam too much in. So as an empath, you know, I've really had to be fierce about my time management, which I talk about in the book. You have to think about how you spend your time and don't just let life happen to you. You know, really try and schedule yourself so you can have some alone time or some nature time or some water time or some meditation time. Whatever you need, you know, you take it.
And what else about men, male empaths, is different?
Well,
silent?
More silence. Oh, we love silence. Sometimes if I'm on sensory overload, I'll just go into my room, close the door, and have utter silence. And that helps me to reduce my sensory overload. Sensory overload is very painful. And if I do too much or if life conspires, you know, in a way where I'm forced to do too much, like if I'm traveling in airports and the flight doesn't take off and I'm stuck, you know, with all those millions of people for a long time, it can get, you know, pretty painful. I meditate and I take care of myself in the airport. But, you know, sometimes life just happens and so you can't really control it in a nice way where you can have your alone time. And so at those points where I do go on sensory overload, it hurts. You know, it really does. And so when I finally get home, wherever I'm going to my hotel room, I'll take that time immediately to get in water or to meditate or to take care of myself, to be quiet. You know, the quiet is a friend of the empath, the silence, the quiet. And just listening. Okay. Out, whatever is outside, if you have birds outside, if you have, you know, water, whatever, the wind blowing, all those natural sounds are very nurturing to empaths.
So are we basically beings with a superpower to empaths? I mean, here we are, we've got intuition, we've got creativity, we've got spirituality, we've got compassion, we've got probably a perception that's beyond the beyond the beyonds, as you like to say. It's like having, you know, so many more fingers into the pie of life. So is it a superpower, essentially?
I think it's
Are we the X-Men? Are we the X-Men and women?
No, I know it's been represented as a superpower. I don't believe that. I believe that it's a great gift. I think superpower is too much hyperbole for me. But it's a great, deep gift of the heart. It's a deep gift to connect to people. It's a deep gift to be giving and better the world and experience the mysteries of life and open your intuition, be of service, learn how to set boundaries, connect to other sentient beings such as plants and animals and No, be open to the world. It's a beautiful life as an empath. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I don't know why, but I was thinking about what if I didn't have these abilities, you know, or being an empath, and it would be like a handicap to me, not having these abilities. It would feel like I was handicapped, you know, and these abilities make me who I am.
Yeah.
And yes, they have challenges, everyone is listening, and maybe you've never had the tools to adequately deal with the challenges, so I hope the book offers you that, but just know there's so much beauty and wonder and miracles, and you know, just living every day as an empath is an incredible experience. I mean, just looking up at the sky and being an empath, I feel the sky. You know, I don't just look up and go, "Oh, it's pretty." You know, I feel it like an energy. Empaths can sense energy, and that's a great gift. You sense energy around people, in places, and so you want to create, and you know, as much positive energy as you can in your life, around you, in your environment. Empaths are very sensitive to their environment, so they want to have it aesthetically pleasing and energetically
yes.
balancing.
So true.
Yeah, all these
wow.
are just so we can have empaths can have these conversations. So I invite everyone to, you know, come to the expo where I'm talking in February.
And Conscious Life Expo.
Conscious Life Expo. I'll be speaking in February. Everyone's invited to my talk at 4 p.m. What is the date of that?
It is February 9th and 10th. And I don't have in front of me your exact date, but if people go to the Conscious Life Expo website, you will see Judith right there on the front page. You'll see her picture. You can click on it, and it'll take you right to her talk, and you can register. I highly recommend you attend in person. It's amazing. And
yes,
we're going to
I invite everybody. Break. Everybody who's listening, come. Wouldn't that be fantastic if everybody?
Yes, yes. If
everybody
you're ready,
can.
If you're really, for all the light workers out there, and for the people who this is your conversation and more, this is your weekend. It's just for you, and there's fabulous things to eat and buy and do and see and music and. You know, the conversation is our conversation. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be speaking more with Dr. Judith Orloff very briefly before the end of the show. And if you want to write a book, hire a certified coach who ensures you will finish your book and also write a page turner. I'm a book coach who also takes your book to guaranteed international bestseller while assisting with media interview bookings. So get your book written, take it to bestseller, and get interviewed. Is it time to get your manuscript out there? Of course it is. Email bestseller@debbiedashinger.com. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Wine lovers, how would you like to be part of the best wine club in the world? You can have your own business in wine, and we take all the guesswork out of it. To learn more, go to directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. Is one of the most inexpensive ways to create an explosive business of your very own. We take out the guesswork and all of the headaches of building, starting, and implementing a new business. It's all done for you. You'll have your own back office, marketing materials, videos, and everything you need in order to share and build your own business. It's so easy. You can even sit back and enjoy our wines because your wines will come to you free. We have invested so much time and 20 years of experts in selecting the most incredible, exquisite wines from all over the world that everyone enjoys, and they're at below retail prices. They'll also receive tasting notes in the magical box of wines. It'll have details of the regions, the history where the wine came, and even food and wine pairing recommendations. So entrust us with picking and choosing the most amazing wines. Deliver them to your customers' homes or business. Remember, there's nothing you need to do but just sign up and start your business right away. Go to directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. directcellars.com/DebsWineWonders and start your wine business today.
Today.
Be laser focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. I'm speaking with Dr. Judith Orloff at drjudithorloff.com. Tell us, where can people find you? You mentioned the events like the Conscious Life Expo, but you also have a free empath newsletter. Where can people find that?
They could sign up for it at drjudithorloff, O-R-L-O-F-F.com. I have a free empath newsletter, and I have the Facebook empath support community. It's called Dr. Orloff's Empath Support Community. And I'm also, if you're a healthcare professional, I'm also giving a workshop in March at Multiversity for healers and healthcare professionals who are empaths or who have empath patients. And so it's a weekend retreat just for people in healthcare or who are caregivers, healers of any kind. And you could find out on my website, drjudithorloff.com. Mm-hmm.
So Dare to Dream. This is Dare to Dream Radio. What are you next, Dare to Dream? Judith, what are your future dreams and goals?
Oh, always the same, really, basically, is to be able to love more deeply, to be more present, to be able to do my creative projects and write books and give workshops and be true to myself and my life, you know, and really enjoy the short time here on Earth and not waste any time, you know, really use my time well. And in my relationship, to be able to go deeper and not bolt and not be afraid and be able to, you know, experience intimacy on the deepest possible level that I can.
How has your experience working with empaths and sensitives impacted the way you see yourself?
What is the way I see myself?
Yeah, your experience working with empaths and sensitives, how has that impacted the way you see yourself?
With more love. I love being a part of the empath community. I love working with awakening empaths who never knew they were empaths before and seeing them come together and thriving in life. I love helping them with that transformation in my private practice. I do phone sessions and Skype sessions, and I have one day in my office in Santa Monica. It helps me. It's always helped me to work with people. You know, I've always been drawn to work with people. When I first started at USC Medical School and at UCLA as a psychiatric resident, I just adore working one-to-one and with groups with people. I really love teaching. You know, it's a genuine love of mine, you see. And I've never given up my private practice, as many authors have, because I love it so much. It's so much a part of how I was initially trained as a psychiatrist. And you know, I could combine my traditional science with all this knowledge about empaths and intuition and spirituality, and it really helps people. And I can't tell you how gratifying that is for me in my life now, you know, here on Earth in this incarnation.
You mentioned thriving.
So give us a tip here at the end. How can we thrive as empaths? How can we thrive when the world overwhelms us?
Just look up. You know, look up at the universe and at the sky and at the myriad of planets, billions and billions and billions of unknown places up there, beautiful twinkling places, and look at our sun and look at our moon and say thank you and see there's more to this reality than we know. You know, just look up. Don't just keep looking straight ahead or down. Look up occasionally to see the wonder of this condition here we have on Earth and this opportunity.
Well, thank you for helping us to look up during this conversation. I'm really grateful that you came on the show today, Judith.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
What a pleasure. And folks, again, she'll be at the Conscious Life Expo. I would absolutely recommend you attend. Some people fly in from all over the world. And you can find out more about her at drjudithorloff.com. And I end today's show with this quote from Albert Einstein. The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. Next up on Dare to Dream Radio and Podcasting, I am featuring Susan Miller, Carolyn Mace, John Sally, and Lynn McTaggart. So you want to keep tuning in to listen. And subscribe to my inspirational YouTube videos at youtube.com/Deb on the Radio. Thanks for joining me on Dare to Dream today.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want. Nothing's impossible now.